Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome this morning to LifeSpring Church. We are speaking at the moment on the topic of praise. And praise is a subject that God has put on my heart over the last couple of weeks or months. I spoke a couple of weeks ago, and I said that praise is always public. You can't just praise somebody in your heart. You praise somebody publicly. The Bible says, with my mouth, with my lips, with my tongue, I will sing praises to God. So we need to get that established in us as disciples of Jesus, as followers of the way, as believers in the Word of God. We need to get it established firmly within us that when we come to worship, we are going to worship God with our mouth. We are going to sing praises to God with our tongues. I say that praise is always public in the Bible. We never find anywhere in the Bible where we are commanded by God to praise God secretly or to praise God in our heart. And also I said that the level of our praise is related to the level of our character and the level of our faith. The more faith that we have, the more we are able to praise God. The more insight we have into God by faith, the easier it is to praise God from our hearts. And so the stimulus, that outward thing, if you like, that causes us to praise, is always our relationship with God and our ability to have insight into who Jesus is and into what he has done for us. So the more revelation we have of Jesus, and the more revelation that we have of God, the easier it is for us to open our mouths spontaneously and praise God. I'm saying spontaneously. I'm not saying following the words of the songs on the sheet or on the overhead, although that's an important part of praise. But being free, being released to praise God spontaneously is an important part of praise. So today, I want to talk for a little while about the basis of praise. In other words, how should we praise? Is there a pattern for praise in the Bible? What does the Bible teach us about praise? And, as we gather here this morning, we come from all different sorts of backgrounds. There are some people here from a Methodist background, some people from a Catholic background, some from an Anglican background, some perhaps from no background at all. And we all come with our own pattern of praise. We come with an idea of how praise should be happening in our meetings, or how I should be praising God. Some of us come and we have a liturgical idea of the pattern of praise. So you open a book of liturgy and the priest or the minister reads out prayers, and there's some kind of response that you give. That's a liturgy, a liturgical. Others have come from a classical Pentecostal perspective. Others come from a Methodist perspective, which has a very strong emphasis on enthusiastic, passionate singing of hymns. So today, I want us not to look at the liturgy or to look at the Pentecostal classical way of doing it. I think it's important for us to go back to where the pattern came from originally. And that means going right back to the Bible. What does the Bible say about praise? Does the Bible give us a yardstick or give us a template, if you like, for praise? And you know, if I am cutting 100 pieces of wood, all the same length, then it's important for me to have a template. So I take one piece of wood and I cut it to the length that I want it. And then I cut the other 100 pieces of wood from that one piece of wood. That's the easiest way of doing it. But if I use a pencil and each time I cut a new piece of wood, I also allow for the width of the pencil. Each time I make a slightly bigger piece of wood. I'm not actually cutting to the original template. I'm cutting a slightly bigger piece of wood. So that actually by the time I get to the 100th piece of wood, if I do that every time, I've got a much bigger piece of wood, totally different from what I had originally intended. And if the template that we have for praise is passed on to us by other people and has been passed down the centuries from one church to another, from one generation to another, and it's, shall we say, imprinted in a liturgy, then there is no guarantee that it's going to be anything like the pattern that God originally intended for us. So this morning, I want us to understand that there is a template in Scripture, that there is a pattern, that there is a way that the Holy Scripture teaches us about praise. And as a church, we need to take that on board. Not what other churches are doing, not what we see Hillsong doing, not what we see Bradford doing, but what we see patterned in the Holy Scripture. That's what I want us to take on. That's what I want us to get into our heads over the coming weeks and the coming months. Now, if we go to the two passages of Scripture that we read this morning, the first one from the book of Isaiah and the second one from the book of Revelation, we get an idea there of the pattern of praise that originates not on earth, not among men, but the pattern of praise that originates in heaven. I would think that that's the pattern that we want to follow. Not what men are doing, but what God is doing, what God's angels and God's saints in heaven are doing, and how that needs to be passed on and imprinted on the character of the church today. Amen? Amen. So we're going to look for a little while at the book of Isaiah and at the book of Revelation. It says in the book of Isaiah, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. He had a vision of God. He saw God on a throne. He saw God high, exalted, and lifted up. And you know, when we praise, that's the place we should look to. God is always above. He's always above us. He's never on the same level as us. We need to realize that, because much of the church today has reduced God to our level. Yes. Or even reduced God to our servant. Now, I'm not saying he's not our friend. I'm not saying that he didn't die for us. I'm not saying he didn't love us. But I am saying that God is God. And God is always above. God is always high, and he's always exalted, and he's always lifted up. Amen. And therefore, we look up to God. We don't look down to him. He looks down on us. And we look up to him. You know, there are so many ways in which God can be described. He is the all-powerful, ever-living, all-knowing, ever-present, Almighty God. Amen. He is omniscient, means he knows everything. Omnipresent, he is present everywhere at the same time. God is the creator of the entire vast, enormous, gigantic universe that we inhabit a little part of. God is awesome. God is amazing. God must not be trifled with or played around with. Even though he is our friend, we have to give God the utmost honor and glory and respect. So he is high and exalted, seated on a throne. That's where God is. He's on a throne. He is king above all kings. He's the highest of the high. There is nobody higher than Almighty God. He is the Almighty One. He is ever existent. People ask, you know, who created God? Well, nobody created God, because if somebody created God, God would not be God. The person who created God would be God. Nobody created God. He is self-existent, and he is infinite, and he is eternal. He always was, he is now, and he always will be. Amen. Hallelujah! He deserves the highest of the high round of applause. He deserves. He deserves the highest praise. He is the subject of our praise. And so when we encourage you on a Sunday morning to praise God, then it is right and it is fitting for us to open our mouths and to say, I praise you, my God. You are almighty. You are high and exalted and lifted up above all. Your throne is above every throne. Hallelujah. You are the highest of the high. Hallelujah. He's awesome. And he's amazing. And you know what? He loves you. He loves you. And he loves me. And he sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for you. Just a discussion in heaven between God and Jesus. Who will go? Who will bring this wayward people back to me? Who will go and pay the price for their iniquity and their rebellion? And Jesus said, put up his hand and said, Father, I will go. I will humble myself from this exalted position that I now have. I will humble myself and I will become their servant. And I will take their sin and their iniquity upon my body on the tree, so that they may die to sin and live to righteousness. Not continue living their own way, you know, not being saved and saying I can live whatever way I like. No, but they will live in righteousness. Jesus died that we might live in holiness and in righteousness. Hallelujah. And the train of his robe fills the temple. His presence fills the temple. And so when we say on a Sunday morning, God is here, we're saying the train of his robe fills this temple. The presence of God is here with us. Hallelujah. So that's the picture that Isaiah saw. He saw God. He had a vision of the infinite, awesome, majestic presence of the Almighty. And it says, it goes on to say, above him were seraphim, each with six wings. They say that the seraphim are the highest beings, heavenly beings, the highest level of angels that exist. And in the presence of Almighty God, these awesome beings, what are they doing? They're covering their faces in his presence. God is so awesome that the holiest of the holy beings of Almighty God cover their faces in his presence. And you know, one day the Bible says that you and I are going to rule over angels. We are above the angels. That's what the Bible says. And yet these awesome heavenly beings, they cover their faces in the presence of Almighty God. And what are they doing? They are bowing down and they are praising and they are worshiping God and they are saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty." They set the example for you and for me. An example of worship, an example of praise. The highest of the high, they worship God. And therefore, we should take our example from the highest of the high. As they sing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory." God's highest, they worship God. And so too should you and I. And we find them exchanging praises. I think in the liturgy it's called antiphonal. Liz, I'm sure, will tell us what it means. Antiphonal. Antiphony. Yeah, they worship God antiphonally. I think that's how it's pronounced. It basically means that they sing to one another the praises of God. They tell one another about God. You know, sometimes, we did it a little bit this morning, one side telling the other, you know, but a bit stifled. But you know, when that breaks out, when the Spirit of God comes upon you and that breaks out spontaneously, people just sing with great freedom to one another. They sing the praises of God to one another. When the power of God comes upon us in praise, awesome things begin to happen. People get free. They get loosed up. They break forth in praise. They break forth in singing spontaneously the praises of that will never be stopped in this church. Amen. We encourage it. Amen. We encourage you to break forth in praise and in worship. And you know, another thing, it says in verse 4, at the sound of their voices. Now listen to this. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. The sound of their voices was so voluminous and so strong and so loud that the doorposts shook because of the vibrations of their voices. Now, that tells me that when we praise God, we shouldn't praise God with a weak, insipid praise, or a weak or insipid voice. We should praise God voluminously, if I can invent a word. Okay? We should praise God loudly and from deep within us, from our very innermost being. Sing praises unto the Lord. We may not be there yet as a church folk, but you know what? That's where we're going. Yeah. That's where we're going. Yeah. To praise God with freedom, with awesome freedom. Hallelujah. With praises breaking forth, people singing to each other, people prophesying the word of God, not being invited to come up front, but the praise of God in the midst of the praise of God, prophecies breaking out. And yes, there's order in all of this, because the Holy Spirit always brings order. So, volume and shouting. This may scare some of you to death. Volume. Some of us who are so timid and so quiet might scare us. But you know what? I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Okay? Don't blame me. This is what the Bible says. This is the template that the Bible gives us. It says that volume and shouting are integral to praise.
Shabbat,
yes. There are 8 words, and I'm going to preach on those the next time. Hebrew words for praise. And these 8 Hebrew words, they back up absolutely what I'm telling you this morning. Okay? This is not me eating too much cheese last night, okay? This is me reading the Bible. This is me getting excited about what I'm reading in the Bible. This is me wanting to communicate to you what I'm reading in the Bible. And this is me wanting you and us to take on the template that the Bible gives us. And you know what? This is going to bring you great blessing. Great freedom. And once you start doing it, you can't stop. You go on and on and on, praising God until you have no more breath left in your body. You know, I'll just tell you a brief story. It's not a story, it's a true thing that happened. An elderly Christian man who was a fine singer, he learned that he had cancer of the tongue and that surgery was required. And in the hospital, after everything was ready for the operation, the man said to the doctor, he said, "I have a question for you." He said, "Will I ever sing again?" And the surgeon found it difficult to answer the question. And he shook his head and said slowly, "No, I'm sorry. After we do this operation on you, you will not be able to sing again." And then the patient asked if he could sit up for a moment. He said, "I've had many good times singing in the presence of God and singing his praises. And now you tell me that I will never sing again. I have one song that will be my last. It will be of gratitude and praise to God." And there in the doctor's presence, the man sang the words of Isaac Watts' hymn, "I'll praise my Maker while I have breath. And when my voice is lost in death, praise shall employ my nobler power. My days of praise shall e'er be past, while life and thought and being last, our immortality endures." Hallelujah. A man who could never sing the praises of God again. This morning we have breath in our bodies. Tomorrow, today, we have words on our tongues. As long as we live, let me sing the praises of God with my mouth. Let me never stop singing the praises of God. Hallelujah. You know, there's an incident in the Bible in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Where Jehoshaphat is going out against the Moabites and the Ammonites in battle. And there are thousands upon thousands of them coming against Israel. They are totally outnumbered. And they are in fear that they are going to be totally overwhelmed. You may be in such a situation this morning where you feel that so many things are coming against you that you are totally overwhelmed. Well, in the midst of all this stuff that was coming against them, the Bible says, "Then some Levites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice." Amen. They praised him with a very loud voice. Hallelujah. And you know what happened? Jehoshaphat appointed some men, perhaps women, to go out ahead of the army singing the praises of God. Yeah. And as they went ahead of the army, the Ammonites and the Moabites, what happened was they turned on each other and they began slaughtering each other. Yeah. And that day, Israel won a very great battle without actually entering into battle. Yes. because they sang the praises of God. Hallelujah. And so there may be big things coming against you. There may be illness coming against you. There may be demons coming against you. But I want to say to you this morning that if you go out against them with the praises of God in your mouth and a two-edged sword in your hand, you will win a great victory by the word of God and by the praises of God against your spiritual enemy. Psalm 98 verse 4 says, "Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth and sing for joy and sing praises." And in Psalm 35 verse 28 says, "My tongue shall proclaim your righteousness, your praise all day long." And you know, when we look at the book of Revelation, chapter 4, verses 8 to 12 that we read at the very beginning, the heavenly beings are singing exactly the same thing. They are singing, "Holy, holy, holy." God is holy. Amen. He's separate. He's set apart. He's not like you and me. He's not a human being. Okay? He's different. He is worthy to be exalted and lifted up because there is no being like our God. There is no one like our God. But as they sing in the book of Revelation, it says, "Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under its wings. Day and night they never stop saying." Just note those words. They never stop. Their praise is continuous. Their praise is prolonged. They don't worship God or praise God for 10 seconds and then get tired. Because they have a vision of who God is. And that vision of God, that stimulus of God, that stimulus of the Lord Jesus Christ, high and exalted and lifted up from the dead, that is our impetus for praising God, not just for 5 or 10 seconds, but for a prolonged period of time. So when we look at the template in the Bible, we see a number of things. We see, first of all, that it is vocal. It's never silent. It's God's praise is always vocal. So this is the template I want to bring this morning. Spoken out, declared on the mouth and from the heart. Amen? Are you with me this morning?
Amen.
Secondly, it's voluminous. Great volume. Okay? It's loud. Don't be afraid of loud. Okay? If loud frightens you, well, we'll give you earplugs. Okay? That's okay. All right? But in heaven, it's going to be loud. So I think probably you need to get used to it here. Okay? Get used to it. That's what's happening in heaven. We're taking our template. The doorposts are shaking in heaven when they worship and they praise God. So that's what you're going to have to put up with in heaven. Amen? So it has great volume. Then it's antiphonal. So music team, take note from this. Okay? They sing to each other. It's not just you singing to us. It's us singing to each other. It's us singing to you. There's an interchange going off all the time in heaven between the angels singing about God and worshiping God. It's I use that word, antiphonal. Okay? Going to become part of our praise and our worship and our singing here at LifeSpring. It's sometimes united, everybody together, okay, maybe singing the same words, worshiping God together as we did this morning with some of those lovely songs that we sang, and the volume began to rise, yeah, as we were taking up the offering, the volume began to rise. It's often solo. Maybe somebody, the Spirit of God comes upon somebody, or maybe even the Spirit of God coming upon everybody and all singing their own song at the same time. So there's no you. But actually, as it rises into a crescendo, it also rises into a unity. Not a cacophony, but a wonderful unity in the Spirit. So it can be united, or it can start off with disunity, but actually rising into a beautiful unity. It's accompanied by standing in heaven. They stand up to praise in heaven, and or by raising of the hands, that's also there. So what we do, stand up to praise and lift our hands to God, sometimes by bowing, by prostrating yourself in the presence of God. Those are also present in heaven. So it's vocal, it's voluminous, it's antiphonal, it's united, and it's sung and accompanied by standing, raising of the hands, bowing or prostrating ourselves. This is what happens in heaven. This is the template that God wants. It's the divine pattern for praise. So, well-meaning religious men haven't taught us this. This does not come from religious men teaching us to praise God in this manner. Where does it come from? It comes from God Himself. We don't therefore come to church to admire performance. We don't come to church just to perform. We don't come to church to sing praise to God in our hearts. We don't come to church to spectate out of curiosity. We come to church to give God every ounce of praise that we have. We come to church to empty ourselves vocally and enthusiastically and passionately and loudly. We empty ourselves of everything that we have so that God can fill us with everything that He has. When we empty ourselves of everything that we have, we create space for God to fill us with everything that He has. That includes direction, correction, healing, protection for our families, breakthrough, strongholds coming down, strongholds being broken. Hallelujah. I'm going to give you some examples of what God has done when men and women like you and me stand up and they step out and they step forth and they break forth into the praise of God. I'm going to give you some examples in the days to come about what happens when men and women take courage, they stop looking at each other, they overcome their shyness and their self-centeredness and their fear, and they lift their hands and they stand up and they say, I am here and I will praise God with all that I've got within me. So when we come to church, we come to praise. Amen. Amen. We come to worship. Yes. Hallelujah. I hope I haven't frightened anybody this morning. I hope I have encouraged you. I want you to go forth, you know, and take this message and practice it at home. Don't just wait to come in on a Sunday morning to begin to praise God, because you know what? There are demons afflicting your family. There are things coming against you in your family. There are things coming against people here this morning in their marriage. There is depression coming against people in this church. And I want to say that as you learn to praise God, God is going to break the powers that are coming against you, and you are going to break forth with joy and be led forth in peace, and the mountains and hills will break forth in praise before you. Amen. I pray that God bless blesses this message to your heart this morning in Jesus' name. And I want Liz and the team to come up here. We're going to finish this morning. We're not going to be able to put all this into practice right now, but we can put some of it. We can sing to God. Amen. Vocally. Voluminously. Amen. And then if somebody wants to break out in prophecy, even as we finish, break out in a song, well, we're going to let it happen. Amen.